Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in. This is Max from the Max Clark Show and the Clark Center for Civics, Politics, and Global Affairs. If you hear some chomping in the background, it's my puppies back there. They're eating right now. But while we're getting set up, do me a favor, hit the thumbs up button and hit the subscribe button, as well as the notification button, bell, so you can get updates on when I post new videos. And again, hit the thumbs up button because it helps the channel to grow. So I'm not going to keep you guys too long, but I know there's a lot of things going on in the news with the COVID-19, the coronavirus. And a lot of people don't understand. A lot of people are getting their news from, sources that are like fake news and things like that. And a lot of things that Donald Trump is saying or how the media is reporting it is getting a lot of people scared, you know, or people don't understand how government works. So I'm just going to share with you a couple things about how things work. So maybe it can hopefully ease your mind and you can, you know, double check me, you know, to see if I'm, you know, telling you the truth, because that's what we specialize here at the Max Clark Show and the Clark Center for Civics, Politics, and Global Affairs, and that's the truth. Okay, so don't take my word for it. Don't believe a word that I say. Research for yourself. You certainly have time to do that, okay, while we're in this social distancing, self-quarantine, you know, COVID-19 coronavirus program. While that's going on, you guys have plenty of time to research anything that I'm saying or anything that you're hearing, anything that you're hearing on the news or out here in social media. All right, so we're going to jump right into it. So I know there's news headlines saying that Donald Trump wants to open the country back up and people start going back to work, start, you know, going out, carrying on as usual, you know, back to business as usual. And the thing that a lot of people don't understand is that Donald Trump has no control over that. That's not his thing. This is not a federal shutdown. Again, this is not a federal shutdown. So, or Trump comes out there and has a press conference, he's just talking. He's just talking. He's, you know, he doesn't have any power. So what you need to do, you need to talk to your mayors and your governors about that. Because that's where the power lies. The power lies in the states. And we don't understand how states work and how powerful the states are. So I'm just going to run a few things down to you so you can understand this a little better. And maybe you can share it with your friends and family if you have time to do it. So what are states? What are states? Okay. Are states independent nations, or are they just areas of land with, you know, lines drawn around them on the map? Good question, right? Oh, a state is a geopolitical land or unit that has sovereignty, which means, you know, the authority to govern itself. So places like Mexico and China, they're states as well, but Illinois, you know, Georgia, Pennsylvania, those are states as well. But the difference between Illinois, Georgia, and Pennsylvania and Mexico and China is that they have complete authority inside of their borders, okay? Just like all sovereign nations, really sovereign nations have, they have that power. So the state of Illinois doesn't have, they have a certain amount of sovereignty, but not all sovereignty, because we rely on the federal government. Right? So like Mexico and China, they do what they want to do. Excuse me, they do what they want to do. they're sovereign. They have the power to govern themselves without, you know, any interference. The states within that particular nation. Okay. So just to put a little historical context on that, you know, like Georgia and Pennsylvania, they could have had the same sovereignty as China and Mexico, but they chose not to. Now we're going back to the original colonies. Okay. So after they won independence from Great Britain, and basically they became a group of sovereign nations. Okay. At first they became a group of sovereign nations. And what happened was they ended up giving some of that authority away by agreeing to a little contract that we know today as the United States Constitution. And this is how we're sovereign but not sovereign. So it dates all the way back. It dates all the way back to that time. So the Constitution, you know, a lot of us aren't clear on what that is. We really just regurgitate a lot of things that are said in the media or something that we hear from somebody else. And, you know, you're screaming the First and Second Amendment, but we don't really understand how the Constitution works and the power or lack of power that the Constitution has. The Constitution is just an agreement, you know, that the original states or the original colonies put together in order to form a nation so that they can all be part of it. You know, they all came together as one. They needed a government at the time, and that government needed some juice. The government needed to be charged. So, in other words, the government needed power. There was only one place that government can get that power from. All right. One place the government can get that power from, and that was the states, or is the states. Okay. We don't understand that when it comes to the federal government or the presidency and state and local government. We don't understand that. Puppies over there, a little frisky over there, but as I was saying, we don't understand the relationship between the federal government and the state governments and how much power that they have, because the state governments give the federal government power. So if the state government gives federal government power, what is that telling you? What is that telling you? Okay. What is the power lie? And we're going to get into that. All right. So each state, actually, and a lot of people don't understand this or know this, each state already had its own leaders and laws and their own legal system. Hell, some of them, they even had their own constitutions written before the U.S. Constitution, years before the U.S. Constitution was written. So for that, the states held all the power, absolute power. Okay, and in order to empower a central government, which is the federal government, in order to empower them, states had to give up some rights. States had to give up some of their own rights. And generally speaking, states didn't love this idea of handing over, you know, parts of their sovereignty, which is really understandable. So, and the reason was that they were worried that a government, you know, that was too far away from the people, with that much power, they could destroy individual liberties. And, you know, so we got the Constitution and things like that. But we'll talk about the Constitution, you know, in depth in another program, okay? Because we really don't understand that document. So in the Constitution, the states created sort of a federalist system where they would share the powers. You know, they would share the powers with the central government and give it a specific list of powers. So because the states, they was tripping, you know, they was freaking out about giving away any power at all, they came up with the 10th Amendment to the Constitution, and it makes it extremely clear, extremely clear. This is why we have to know the Constitution, okay? Most people see me with a bag all the time. I carry a Constitution in my bag. I have a Constitution downloaded on my phone. Constitution's on my computer. It's imperative that we know the Constitution. So the 10th Amendment, like I said, makes it abundantly clear how the power sharing between the states and the federal government is supposed to work. So I want to pull that 10th Amendment up for you so you can see how this works. So the 10th Amendment says the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution. Okay. So again, the United States is the group of states together forms the United States. Okay. Your state that you live in is not the United States. The United States is the group of states, which is the country that you live in. Okay. You live in the United States of this land called America. Okay. And that's a whole nother story in and of itself. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole as to talking about who's an American and who's not an American. Okay. That's a whole nother issue. Okay. But let me go ahead and get this 10th Amendment to you straight. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. So in other words, on layman's terms, if the Constitution doesn't specifically give a power to the U.S. government or prohibit states from having it, then the state governments or the people keep the power. Powers the states kept are called reserve powers, okay? So whatever powers the states have, they are called reserve powers. Now, the list of powers the states gave the federal government in the Constitution, they're called express powers. Express powers. So because they directly stated, because those powers are directly stated, okay, those are express powers. They're directly stated in the Constitution, okay? So even though states didn't like giving up power, some things just made sense, you know, to, you know, give up or share. You know, so for example, it'd be pretty messy to have 13 different states declaring war, right? It's kind of, you know, that'd be kind of crazy. So that power was relegated to the federal government. You know, the federal government is the ones who can declare war, okay? And that's Congress. President can't declare war. Congress can do that, okay? So other examples, they may include the power to maintain a military, to make treaties with other nations, coin money, make rules about who gets to be a U.S. citizen, okay? A U.S. citizen, a United States citizen, okay? Ultimately, the states, they tried to get a federal government only powers that were absolutely necessary for a strong nation that could run smoothly. So when we talk about Trump and what he wants to do and the whether he's wanting the country to open back up by Easter, he can't make that call. He can't make that call. This is not a federal thing. The states are declaring states of emergency. The governors are declaring states of emergency. So this power is held by the states. So when the governors say, hey, you know what, we're gonna open back up by Easter, then they're opening up by Easter. That power is relegated to the states. So I hope that we understand that, and I hope we understand how far or how long or short the arm is of the federal government. And United States and the States. So, and it's a story that's going around, and it's true that the Department of Justice, they want to pretty much be able to, well, they went to Congress. They went to Congress, okay, to ask Congress if they can come up with a bill, some sort of legislation to make it legal for them to detain people indefinitely during, you know, these types of emergencies, during these types of crisis. So just the fact that the Department of Justice had to go to, excuse me, the Congress to ask them to do that, that shows you where the power lies, right? So I know, what do you call it, AOC, Cortez, she was saying that that was infringing on the civil rights of the people. And I beg to differ. It's not infringing on the civil rights of the people. That is an overreach of the Constitution. Okay? That's cruel and unusual punishment, to hold somebody, detain somebody indefinitely. Okay? But now we got to dig deeper and we got to see exactly what was said behind closed doors, because, you know, we have a large prison population here in the United States, like over 2 million people behind bars, but there's only about 200,000 in federal custody. Okay, in federal custody. Now, the feds, they control that. They don't control what's happening in the state penitentiaries. Okay, in the county jails, they don't control that. Okay, so when we talk about the prison population or the prison industrial complex, and every time somebody's running for president, you know, you're rah, 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 that's, they only have 200,000 people locked up. Okay, the states have 2 million. The states have 2 million people locked up. Okay, so that's where we got to understand the difference of the powers between the federal government and the state governments, okay? And again, we'll get into that in a later video. So let me continue. I don't want to keep you guys too long. You have what's called implied powers, hidden within the express federal powers, okay? So for example, the power to make rules about citizenship implies the power to monitor the flow of people through the nation's borders, right? So the Constitution lets the federal government do things that aren't specifically stated, but are necessary and proper for carrying out those federal powers, okay? There are also concurrent powers that both states and the federal government have. And and that both can exercise at the same time, as long as that doesn't interfere with each other, with the state and the federal government. As long as they don't interfere with each other, then, you know, they can exercise those at the same time. So normally interference isn't an issue because federal and state governments operate as two separate systems. So for example, both have the power to tax, they have the power to spend, they have the power to borrow money, because both levels of government need money to function and provide services, okay? They both need those in order to exist, you know, in order to sustain itself. Both levels have the power to define crimes and determine the punishments for those crimes. So both levels have the power to create a justice system, but the states put one big limit on themselves in the Constitution. The states did this. If the state and federal laws do interfere with each other, federal laws are supreme. So that's, and some of you may have heard of it, it's called the Supremacy Clause. It's called the Supremacy Clause, where federal laws are supreme, so they overrule. So that's why so many people when you see a lot of things happening at the state and local level, it starts going up through the courts, all the way up through the courts, all the way to the Supreme Court. And that's the law of the land. The Supreme Court lays down the law. So the states, I think they kind of screwed themselves on that when they gave that part of their sovereignty up. So that could be a gift and a curse. That could be a gift and a curse, right? Given the power, absolute, you know, supreme power, okay, as it relates to who gets the last word, to the federal government over the state government. So that could be a gift and a curse. So the biggest power that the states kept for themselves is one that you won't find defined in any constitution, and that's called police power. Okay, and this is a sweeping power. This is a power that lets states do things such as, you know, protect the health, safety, and morals of the community. Okay, so which is what's happening now, protecting the health, the safety, and morals of the community. That's what's happening with our governors. Our governors, that's what they're doing. Everybody who's sheltering in place, things like that. I'm not sure if any state has any martial law going, but the governors are protecting the health, safety, and morals of the community. States have the power to pass and enforce laws that promote the general welfare of the people. They can limit private rights for the good of the public, okay? Private rights, which is you. You are the private citizen. And they can address major needs in a community. So that's just breaking down the powers that the states have and why you see the governors, you know, really on the front line of this whole COVID-19 coronavirus situation, okay? So while the police power is the reason police departments can exist, like police powers, while the reasons why they can exist, this power is about a lot more than police officers, okay? Laws based on police power can wildly be different from state to state, okay? And they can cover everything from the kind of electrical wire allowed in a new construction or the noise ordinances and that limit how loud a motorcycle pipe can be. You know, things like that. Each state has its own needs and priorities, okay? That's the sovereignty from state to state. And states, they use police powers to address issues in ways that make sense for their own citizens. So that's why, you know, laws are different in each state, you know, from state to state. So something that you do here in Illinois, if you go over to Indiana or Wisconsin, you know, what you do here, if you go do it in another state like that, the consequences could be different. They could be a little lenient. They could be a lot more harsh than they are here. So that's just the sovereignty that states have within themselves from state to state. Okay. One last thing. Let's see. Okay. So when the states agreed to the Constitution, the states were, States were the only ones with the power. So they were stronger than the, you know, federal government. They had the power to keep or give away whatever power that they had, okay? And because the states also, they had the power to amend the Constitution. Listen to this. The states have the power to amend the Constitution. The states. Okay, so if you have a problem with the Constitution, who do you deal with? You gotta stop running to the person in the White House, you know, because there's a lot of time wasted out there protesting and rah, 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 and things like that, because you're dealing with the wrong person. You're dealing with the wrong person, okay? You need to deal with your state government and your senators and your U.S. representatives. Okay. So, with that being said, the states could, in theory, strip the federal government of all its power just by changing the Constitution. Now, getting the Constitution changed is like, man, if you're waiting on Jesus to come back, you're going to be waiting that long. Okay? You're going to be waiting that long because people don't want to amend the Constitution. They don't want to strip any powers from the Constitution because they believe that that's the end all be all to this country. But people don't understand that the states is the one who gives the power. So once you get take control of your politicians, in your state, then you can start to get things changed. But we're only united on a landmass. We're not united idealistically, you know. We're not united in our mentality. So getting the Constitution, you know, changed is not looking good. Okay, but it's really difficult, as I said, because it requires getting a huge portion of the people and states to agree, okay? Not only do the states have to agree, the people have to agree. You know, the people have to agree. The problem is that you got one half of the country who thinks everything is absolutely fine. You have another half of the country who thinks there's a lot wrong going on here. So you're not going to get, you know, two-thirds of the states to vote to take powers away from the federal government. It's just not going to happen, okay? What else? So, yeah, again, the Constitution is the law of the land, so that's going to be hard. They have over, you know, we have over 20 years of history built on this system, you know, the federal state power sharing, you know, dynamic that was created, you know, since the beginning, along with this history of respecting that system, trying to change it, it's, you know, it's almost like when it comes to changing the Constitution, I think some people figure that it's like a, you know, it's the law of the land. It's the founding fathers. You know, they gave everything. The, you know, the Revolutionary War is like all that stuff. People take into account, and they just want to keep it there. They just really want to conserve that piece of history. I think it's more of it being a piece of history than saying, hey, you know what, we got to change some of this because it's a lot that needs to be changed in the Constitution if you actually read it and understand the wording and the context. If you read your state constitutions as well, that's that's imperative for you to read your state constitutions, okay? Because that's where all these laws are coming down at, okay? So, but if we don't read it and understand how it works, we're not, any sort of state revolution is not going to happen. But it could, and that's the point. You know, we have a new generation. We have a millennial generation who a lot of people think is like a pain in the ass, you know. Let's just keep it 100. They can be a pain in the ass sometimes. But their drive and their vision, and by them actually by them actually pointing out things that we've saw in our generation, but they're like, hey, we're not going for this, you know, for this BS from the jump. That's what I like about the millennial generation, and their generation, their kids and grandkids, they could possibly be the ones to to make that change. Okay. So with that being said, guys, take time out to hit the subscribe button, hit the notification bell, hit the thumbs up. It helps the channel to grow. If this you felt this information to be valuable, please share it and like it. Okay. As always, love somebody, more importantly, love yourself. Till next time. Peace.